I would like you to open your Bibles to Romans, the fourth chapter. I want to talk about faith today. Amen? Faith, that's an exciting subject, isn't it? And it's one of those subjects I think that we need a steady diet of, right? Because let's face it, there is a lot of fear in the world. I mean, honestly, I don't say this to be mean. If you're plugged in at all, you should be concerned about what's happening in the world. We got Tweedledee and Tweedledum running for president. And I don't say that to be mean. It's just, what have we come to? So if that's our hope, we're a hurting bunch. Now, I just want to share with you, this is interesting. Last night, was that my phone? What is my phone? I had a pastor text me last night. Of course, I get these kind of things all the time, you know, but he was just saying, my God, where is this going to end? What is going to happen? You know, Supreme Court justice appointment. I mean, there are serious consequences for things. And so finally he answered him, and I just said this. I said, maybe God is kicking out all the false support so we won't depend on political cover. And I believe in being politically involved. I don't think any area of the society or culture should not have a prophetic voice to it. So I want to be clear there. There's no panacea here, I said, that this would be easy. And if that does happen and comes to pass, believers who are not part of a body and churches that are not part of a tribe are going to be in a very vulnerable place. And I'm just going to tell you right now, there are people out there, honestly, you need to know this, that if there are disconnected believers out there, or believers dying on the vine, that if they knew there was a safe place like this for a dangerous message where they could be in loving, challenging relationships, they would be here. There are people outside the kingdom like I was who wasn't raised in a Christian family, didn't know anything about Jesus, didn't know anything about the Bible. This is like going to the moon for them. This is a whole nother world, you know what I mean? I always tell people the first thing I saw when I walked into the door after getting saved on a street corner, I saw two big guys hugging each other and I tried to run out the other door. Because you didn't do that where I came from, you know what I'm saying? That was my first experience, and literally the people that brought me reached out and were hanging on to me. So I was like one of those cartoon characters, you know, my feet were moving, my body wasn't. And I'll never forget that was my first 2 minutes inside the door. But it was like another world, okay? This is another world. This is an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. And those in need should be running in the door. And we've got to do everything we can to get the name of Jesus, the name of LifeGate out, just out to people. I'm just telling you, there is a hunger there. There is a concern in people. I'll just tell you this before I start preaching. So I'm on the plane coming here. I sit next to this young man, and I just start talking to him, and he just opens up. I mean, the guy was like on me. He would not leave me alone. In a very good spirit. Turned out to be come from a very Jewish liberal background. And he's just asking me every question. I mean, I'm preaching to this guy. I mean, I'm preaching Jesus. I'm preaching. And he's like, I'm quoting the Bible. He goes, oh, I would like to be able to do that. He said, that's just so great that you know where that's at. And it's in there. And he's going all this stuff. And so we get to the end and the plane is landing. And he says to me, he's an educated young man. He looks at me and goes, can I ask you one more question? I said, sure. He goes, do you think something's like really got to happen? There's got to be some kind of shift. I said, yeah, it's called the Third Great Awakening. He goes, I read about the Second Great Awakening. Pastor Scott, yeah, what's a Jewish liberal young guy doing reading about the Second? I mean, God is doing something for him. And I said to him, I said, you know, there's more where this came from. I'm going to pray the laborers in the vineyard, so don't be surprised on the next flight you get on, you get another guy just like me right beside you. So, but anyway, I'm just telling you, that's the temperature. People are looking for reality. We had a lot of conversation about what truth was, about truth being absolute. That's what I was hammering with this young man, you know. And you could tell that was starting to make some way. But anyway, you are what the world needs. You're not going to be when you get to a certain size. You are right now. You have all the elements. You are a legitimate church family here, okay? And you need to celebrate that, enjoy it, and I see it. I see it. It's fun being with you guys. And my dear wife sends her greetings. We've got a daughter getting married, and her Wedding shower is today. I don't like doing those things on Sunday, but anyway. So she is entrenched in that whole scenario. And my son and his wife and their two little baby girls moved in with us this week because they sold their house and their new house is not quite done. So they're going to be with us for a couple weeks. So I was telling one of the guys, I don't think you could blast Penny out of the house right now. She's having a great time. I tried talking to her yesterday. She was too busy for me. She had too many things going on. So I said, I understand. Let's go to Romans 4. Okay, I'm going to preach at you for a while here. I'm going to hit you hard and fast. Is that all right? And we're just going to stir the waters on faith. Romans 4, 1 through 6. I'm reading from the New American Standard. It says, "What shall we say then that Abraham, our forerunner, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was credited to him for righteousness. Now as to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but for what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessings of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from our works." So I'm having this conversation with this man in the airplane. He's telling me what a good person he is. And I'm saying, well, who defines good? He goes, what do you mean? I said, you're not a murderer, right? He said, yeah. I said, well, who said murder's wrong? God said murder's wrong. And I went down the list. I said, so you are submitting to a truth that you've accepted as being absolute, but where did that truth initiate? Who did that truth come from? So he's having the same argument, because a lot of religious people, a lot of good people, even, you know, we tend to rely on our works. Like, I'm a good person, I don't do this, and you know what? You do get blessed for that. There is a blessing for proper behavior. Amen? Right? Children are supposed to learn that. If you get proper behavior, you get rewarded, and if you have bad behavior, you don't get rewarded. You don't bribe a child into obedience. That was no extra charge for your parents, okay? You don't bribe a child into obedience. You reward them for obedience. And so he's saying here that when we approach God, we do not approach God because, God, I had a good day and I didn't sin and my thought life was pure this week and, you know, I didn't have any road rage and, you know, I love my wife. You know, and those are good. But when we approach God, we approach it on, thank you, Jesus, that you looked at me who was a loser looking for a place to happen, and you put your arms out and you took the stripes and the pain for me and you absorbed it in me. So when I come to God, I come under the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And I don't come, I'm grateful for those other things you're doing in life. But when I come to God, I don't come on my own merits. And that's what he's saying to the Roman church. He said, Abraham became a great patriarch, a great leader of faith, because he came on the merits of the promise of God, not on his own good works. We want to do good works, but they're not a substitute for faith. Good works will not get you saved. Being a good person will not get you born again. That will not deliver you from your sin. So the foundation of Christianity is faith in the promise of God. It's not faith in our ability to remodel our life and clean up ourselves and pursue the great American dream. Those can all be great things, but that won't secure a relationship with God. That won't guarantee eternity. By the way, eternity is not something that happens in the future. Eternity is something that happens when you get born again, right? You become full of life of God. Now, here's the good news. According to Romans 12, you want to look there with me real quick. According to Romans 12, 3, it says, "For the grace," or the divine ability, that's what grace is, "given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment," or the King James says, "soberly, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith." So for every person that has surrendered their life to Jesus Christ, he is Lord of their life, you got born again. Part of that new chromosome, part of that. Listen to me. The new birth is as real as the first birth. It's just a spiritual birth. When I got born again, it wasn't like a mental adjustment, okay? I became a new creature. I got new standing with God. My sins got forgiven. The chains got cut off of my life. I was introduced to the Father who created me. Hallelujah. All right? That new birth is the reality. And that's exactly what he's talking about here. He says, every one of us has a measure of faith. So I would just say to you folks, listen to me, don't ever say you don't have faith. You say your faith challenged. You can say, I got to stir up my faith. I gotta work on my faith focus. I mean, but don't disagree with God right out of the chute and say, I don't have faith. See, that stops a lot of people there. Or we look at other people and we say they have faith, or we compare that with them, and that's the wrong way to go. God has given you a measure of faith. God has given you a seed of faith. God has given you, let me put it this way, a seed of faith in the garden of your heart. What are you going to do with that seed? Are you going to water it? Are you going to groom it? Are you going to put some fertilizer on it? Are you going to protect it from the predators? Are you going to throw a bag over it when the early frost, the circumstances of life come at it? Or are you just going to say, well, you know, whatever happens. Faith is not passive. Faith is proactive. Faith is assertive. Faith has a demonstration to it. Faith becomes obvious. And I think what happens is sometimes we get in the church for a few years and we acknowledge all the right things, but we're really not moving in faith. We're acknowledging faith. That'd be like going out in the parking lot, acknowledging a car, and then walking away. I want to ride. Are you with me? I just don't want to agree that cars are a good thing. I want to have a nice one. I want it to get me from point A to point B. How about you? So I just don't want to agree that faith is a great thing. I want to be engaged in growing that faith. And you know what? This is what I say to people all the time. Fear is psychologists tell us and sociologists tell us, and I would absolutely confirm this, that fear is the greatest trauma known to man. Different, every kind of fear in the world. And sometimes just fear, just being paralyzed from moving forward. But do you know how close faith and fear really are? The devil is a hijacker. He's a counterfeiter. Like, I was raised, my mother lived in a state of fear. I mean, she said outrageous things like, her life's motto was, don't get your hopes up. What a way to live. She had so many disappointments and so many heartbreaks. That's what life looked like to her, okay? Give it time, it'll go wrong. It'll fall apart, you know? But, you know, she was a faith person looking for a place to happen, because all the elements you use to operate in fear like that are the same elements you use to operate in faith. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he said, casting down vain imaginations, okay? What's an imagination? It's an image, imagination. Faith has an image. Faith sees something. Fear sees something. I know people say, I don't have any faith, but they have fear in technicolor. Do you understand? It's the same tool being used the same way. It's the same hammer that could be used to build a house that's being used to tear it down. Okay? Faith speaks, fear speaks. Faith imagines, fear imagines. Right? Faith feeds, fear feeds. When you see people in fear, they're always talking about what can go wrong. You know, when people are moving in faith, they're talking about believing God. They're stirring themselves up, okay? So if you battle with that, you're just a thin line away from crossing it over and just say, God, just help me to take what I've learned in the natural to be negative and put the word of God to it, because the enemy has hijacked those very things for me, and I want to take them back in Jesus' name, okay? See, faith is not just for getting started. Faith is not just for coming into the kingdom. It's for sustaining our life in the kingdom. I mean, John, think of the verses. Just John 10:10, I've come to give you life and to give it more abundantly. I think Jesus knows what the word abundance means. Okay? 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. That's the Bible. That takes faith to allocate that. John 14, these works and greater works shall you do. It takes faith even to think in those terms. Amen? So it's not just faith for getting saved. I mean, you can get saved and you can die in fear and never have your inheritance. A lot of people do. Or you could understand that you need to keep feeding your faith and seeing what God says. Faith at the end of the day is simply agreeing with God rather than any other voice. At the end of the day, it's agreeing with God. It's not coming up with something in your head or imagining something. It's what has God said and coming into agreement with what God has said. And as you do that, then that becomes real to you, and then you have a testimony. I'd put it like this. Faith is the currency of heaven. Okay? See, in every realm, there's a currency. There's things that move things. You know, if you want to go buy a new car, you know what the currency is? Presidents. Pictures of presidents, right? Dollar bills, right? That's the currency they want. So in the natural realm, the currency is money. In business, I would say the currency is probably trust, okay? You can have all kind of assets, but you've got to have trust to do business with people. I'd say in ministry, the currency is not gifting, it's integrity, because there's a lot of gifted people that don't have integrity. So integrity is what God values, 1 Timothy 3. Those characteristics are all about integrity that God qualifies his leaders for. In marriage, I would say that the currency would be love at the end of the day. It's not agreement. It's not agreement on how to raise the kids. It's not agreement on the finances. Those are important things. But at the end of the day, the currency that's going to make this thing work is love. Love is laying down your life for somebody else. Love is deferring to somebody else. Love is thinking about somebody else and not yourself. That's good preaching, Pastor Keith. Thank you very much. You're welcome. Okay. So the scripture not only talks about faith, it talks a lot about the enemies of faith. It talks about how to stir up faith. In Paul's epistles, he's addressing faith issues. Look at Galatians, the third chapter. This is just one little tidbit, and this is our tendency to slide this way. Our tendency is to slide out of the spirit into the natural and start relying on ourselves rather than really trusting God. In Galatians 3, verse 2, it says, "This only one thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" When you got born again and you got filled with the Spirit, let me ask you a question. He's being sarcastic. Let me ask you a question. Did you get that because you were a good person? Did you get that because you were a good little Jewish boy and girl? Or did you get that because the Spirit of faith, the Word of faith came to you and you responded? Is that how you got it? And then he goes, well, if that's how you got it, that's how you're going to keep it. Because, well, there's this tendency in the New Testament church, they were sliding back into Judaism. They were picking up these little trinkets of Judaism. And Paul was warning, so listen, without realizing it, you're shifting what you're trusting in. You're shifting to works now. It's Jesus plus something else. That's always a dangerous place to be. Amen? See, when I respond to the Spirit of God, I want to make it about obedience, not about standing. Did you hear what I said? See, Jesus said, if you continue my word, then you'll be my disciple. I'm saved by grace through faith, that not myself, it's a gift of God. But because I'm saved, now I'm going to respond in obedience. I'm not doing obedience so God will like me. I'm doing obedience because I know God likes me. And he likes me because when he looks at me, he sees somebody that Jesus gave his life for. And when we lose that, we start falling into religion. And when we fall into religion, we don't have an act of faith anymore. You know what we have? We have a sentimental faith. We have a, here's what sentimental faith looks like. God could do that. And when God does something, we agree with that. But here's the question I would ask you. Are you ready? This is worth getting out of bed for. What right now can you honestly say you are absolutely engaged in God believing for? What right now, what lifeline do you have that you are, not that you would, if God would do that, no, that's not faith. That's acknowledgement. There's a difference. That's like me acknowledging the car, not getting in it. Are you with me? That's acknowledgement. See, that's a sentimental faith. But right now, if I could see into the Spirit, if there was a lifeline, What are you believing God for? Are you just trusting the natural source? Now that I'm a Christian, I'm just going to put some principles in place and I'm just going to trust them to work. And that's true. There's a lot of blessing in there. But what are you actively engaged your faith in? What are you believing God for? And by the way, here's how you know. You have a scripture and a verse in context. Okay? So when someone comes to me and they say, I want to believe God for this, a lot of times, most times I'll say, okay, what are you standing on? Because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that literally means a repetitious hearing. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. So as we're hearing the word of God, that's one reason we gather together, is that our faith grows. We're hearing the word of God. We're hearing the word of God. We're pruning the soil. We're harrowing the soil. We're fertilizing the soil. The seed is growing. Amen? But literally, if you tell me you're believing God for something, I should be able to press a button, boop, and a scripture should shoot out of you. Now listen to me. I'm just being nice to you. If that's not the case, you're not in faith. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. Faith does not come from having a desire. Faith does not even come from acknowledging that God is good and he wants to do good things. That's hope. That's hope. That's a good thing. You need hope to get the faith. Hope is the pogo stick to get you to faith. Hallelujah. So those are good things. But so often without realizing, I think we just get very passive and we're saying, yeah, you know, like there's things I'm believing for, like for my children, okay? For my children, there's things I'm believing for. Well, I'm not just saying, well, God is good. And I mean, I got verses. I got verses I'm standing on, amen? There's things I'm believing for your church. I got verses I'm standing on. Okay, I'm full of faith. I see what other people don't see because I got faith on the inside of me. Come on now. Some of you want some things that God wants to give you, but you're operating in the wrong currency. You're passing counterfeit bills that don't work. Hello? You're not doing it on purpose. But you're like the Galatian church. They're slipping away. He's like, wait a minute, slow down, guys. You came into this thing in faith. How do you think you're going to sustain this? Don't start shifting what got you here right now. God wants us to have an active, engaged faith. Look at Matthew 9. Look at Matthew 9 for me. This is just a quick illustration here. I'm going to challenge your thinking. You up for that? Maybe stir it, probably stir it, because I think when I share with you, you'll agree, even if it hurts a little bit. Matthew 9:22. There's a pattern here I want you to see. Matthew 9:22. But Jesus turning and seeing her, this is the lady that was ill, and she presses through the crowd and grabs hold of Jesus, right? And Jesus turning and seeing her said, daughter, take courage, your faith has made you well. At once the woman was well. Now let's, in Jesus' words, stand here. What did he say made her well? Her faith. Let's just be clear there, okay? Now let's drop down that same chapter, verse 29, I believe it is. This is another person. This is Jesus. He didn't say, I'm the Son of God, and because of my deity, you were made well. It's not what he said, right? He is all those things, but that's not what he said. Because he walked past a lot of people that stayed sick. Did you know that? Okay, 29. Then he touched their eyes, and he said, it shall be done according to your faith. That phrase in Jesus' ministry happens about 20 times in the gospel. About 20 times he looked people and said, it's because of your faith. So let me play the other side of this. I think as an active believer, I mean, I was up this morning, I was thinking about a couple things in my life that I need God to move in, okay? I need God to move in. I've got some goals and desires I think are from the Holy Spirit, and I think there's a couple things that are out there, circumstantial things that are holding me back a little bit, and I want to bust through those things. So I was up this morning, and I was just thinking about it, and I was preaching this message to myself. You know, I always preach to myself first, so just, and when I'm preaching to you, believe me, I'm preaching to myself, hallelujah. And by the way, you know who the best preacher is you're ever going to hear? You know who that is? You. If you'll learn to preach to yourself, you'll grow in faith. You need to exhort yourself. You need to look in the mirror and say, come on, you lion cub, get on up. Amen? You know, scientifically, your ears hear your voice in a different way than they hear another voice. Literally, they've proven that, okay? So you need to learn to preach to yourself. Well, where's that in the Bible? It's called meditation, psalms and hymns. Speaking to yourself, it says. Okay? You're not trying to impress God with how many verses you know. He wrote them. He's not going to be impressed by that. Okay? But you're stirring yourself up. You're speaking the word. Because you know what? If you're not thinking on that, you're going to be thinking on something else. So one of the best ways to overcome depression and gloom and doubt and fear is to replace it with something else. Right? So I'm up this morning and I'm just praying in the Spirit. I'm stirring myself up and I'm just fertilizing that faith. I could wait for it to happen natural, but I'm not that patient. I don't want to wait that long. I want God's hand to be moving on it. And if I'm convinced and I'm trusting God, then I get God's kind of patience rather than just my kind of long suffering. Okay? So here's the other side of that. And I think this is a fair question for believers. If Jesus said it was because of their faith things were happening, I think it's okay for us to take an account and look at our life and say, when things aren't happening, am I in faith? I'm not talking about getting in condemnation and beating yourself up and getting weird, okay? But honestly looking at yourself and saying, am I moving in faith? Am I exchanging the currency of heaven? Some of you right now have things on your heart. They're legitimate things. Some are visions and goals and desires. Some of them are circumstantial needs that it's important that they get met. But God is not moved by need. Do you understand that? He's moved by faith. See, if God was moved by need, he'd be the devil's butler. Hello? The devil would cause chaos and God would come and clean up his messes. And listen, God's not your butler either. Hello? But he's your father that responds to trust. And just like in the natural, think about this in the natural, honestly. Let's be real. Trust is a very delicate thing, isn't it? We can get weird about it. We can have this great trusting relationship with somebody and they do one little weird thing and it's like, because it's so valuable, it's so tender, it is so intricate. Well, our relationship with God is like that. So if we don't maintain that trust, if we're not investing in that trust, if we're not building our faith, we'll just become kind of like natural Christians. Hey, you get to die and go to heaven, but you're not bringing much heaven to earth while you're here because you're not moving in faith. So I think that's a legitimate question to ask yourself. The things that you want right now, the things you say you're praying for, the things you would agree with, what's your scripture? Where are you engaged with God? Are you willing to be a steward and say, you know, God, maybe I'm not moving in faith. Maybe I'm like these Galatian people. I've just started resting in some biblical principles, you know, because that's what's predominant in the Christian circles. That's what's being preached. It's life improvement with biblical principles. It's really not the preaching of the cross too much. I'm just being honest with you. It's not centered on Jesus. It's centered on our life being better. God wants our life to be better. He just wants to get the credit for it. He wants us to brag on him. He wants us to say, look, he was all, you know, Jesus, he's the guy born blind. Remember they're interviewing the guy born blind, John 8? It's one of the greatest stories in the Bible. Young people, listen to me. If you want to have a laugh, read John 8. And just read it like it's written. They're interviewing this guy. Finally he says, listen, I don't know. I don't know if Jesus is a good guy. I don't know if he's a bad guy. I don't know who his mother is. I don't know who his father is. I don't know how Jewish he is. I don't know how Jewish he is. Here's what I do know. I was blind and now I see. Get over it. And I got people that want to argue about Jesus. Listen, all I know is I was bound and now I'm free. I was a mess and now I've been saved. Hallelujah. We had a generational curse on our family and now it's been broken. Hallelujah. That's what I know. Okay? That's what faith does in your heart. But faith stays active. Faith is a day-by-day situation. And you know, sometimes we get politically correct in the church. I'm ready to land another punch here. Are you with me? Not politically. We get upset with the world when they're politically correct, right? Like, come on, get it. But here's what we'll do, you know. We'll say, you know, Dawn, we'll pick on Dawn. Dawn, if you just had more patience, and she'd go, you're right, you know, because nobody has enough patience, right? Right? If I went over to Judy, I said, Judy, you know, Judy, if you would just pray more, you'd go, oh, that's, I mean, who prays enough, right? I mean, I haven't met that person, okay? But if I approach somebody and I say, you know what, Jackie, you got a faith issue. You just don't have enough faith. They rise up. What do you mean I don't have faith? Who are you to say that? But we need to challenge each other, amen? This is an important thing. We need to stir the pot. Come on now. I'm not talking about an accusation. I'm talking about an encouragement. You know, there's times I'm ministering to people, and I've got to get down with them and say, listen, if you're going to come through this, you've got to get a hold of God. And you got to get a hold of his word. And it's got to be so in you that every time the devil irritates you, that's what comes out of you. That's what I've learned. That's what I've learned about faith in me. That when it's really in there, the more irritated I get, the more word comes out of me. The more challenged I get, the more word comes out of me. I don't start falling back. And what am I going to do? And, you know, we say things like prayer changes things. No, prayer doesn't change anything. Faith-filled prayers change things. See, but if we just, Jesus said, listen, if you think you, listen, Jesus is wonderful. Here's, he said things like, do you think you're going to be heard for your much words? What was he talking about? He was talking about faithless prayers. He was talking about repetitiously just telling God all your needs. God wants to know your needs, but he wants you to move in faith. Amen? Come on now. Thank you for that amen, Pastor Scott. I've got a lot more I could say here, but I'm going to end with this. Just go to Hebrews 11 with me. A lot of you know this verse, but I want you to consider it in the way I think it was written. Now, faith is the assurance or the substance, the King James says, of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Paul said we walk by faith and not by sight. You know one of the greatest things about walking in faith, honest, real faith, is circumstances, though they confront you, they don't stop you. It says later, see, in Romans 4, there's actually a doctrine of faith. He gives the doctrine of faith, and then over in verse about 19, he gives the illustration of faith. And he talks about Abraham and Sarah having children in their old age, right? And this is what he says. He said, and Abraham being old, considered not his own body now dead. And then the King James says the opposite. It says, and Abraham being old, considered his body now dead. So I asked a Greek guy was one of my mentors, he was a Greek teacher. I said, what? He said, they're both right. I said, well, how could they both be right? He said, it's just a beautiful structure. He said, what it means is, having considered his own body now dead, he didn't consider it. He looked at the facts and dismissed the facts and chose to believe God. All right? It's kind of like how when Penny and I have conversations. She'll say something to me that I disagree with. And then she'll say, well, you didn't hear me. And I said, I heard you. I just disagreed with you. She's convinced that if she just really explains herself, we usually do agree. We'll have these conversations. Of course, I get a lot of fun out of them sometimes, more than I should maybe. And she'll just say, but if you really heard, I said, honey, I really heard you. I just disagree with you. And I'm sure it works the other way too, but she's not here so I can take advantage of it, okay? But anyway. But there are things that are really real. See, faith is not the denial of facts. Faith is believing that there's an eternal truth. I don't have to deny I'm sick to believe God that I want to be healed. Hello? That's weird. I want to move in faith. I want to say, I've considered everything, Mr. Doctor, you've had to say, and I think I'm going to go with Matthew 8:17, that he's borne my infirmities and carried my sicknesses. Hallelujah. I think that's what I'm going to go with. Mr. Lawyer, I've heard everything you say, but I think I'm going to go with Matthew 6:33. If I seek first the kingdom of God, all these other things are going to be done. I think I'm going to go there. That's my report. Whose report will you believe? I believe the report of the Lord. Amen? So he gives the teaching on faith. Then he gives this illustration. Faith is not denial. Faith is not afraid to look into the face of circumstances. And when you're moving in faith, even though you know you don't like those circumstances, there is actually fuel in your fire. You're hanging on to God and you're believing God. What are you actively engaged for right now today? Not just hoping will happen. Now Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance or the assurance of things hoped for. Let me say this to you. Faith is not mental. This is important. Because a lot of people that, you know, that's what it's become. Acknowledgement. Sentimental. I believe that. Yeah, that's great. Yes. Faith is assurance or substance. This is what I believe about faith. I believe if we were in another dimension right now, which we are, in the spirit realm, if we could see into the spirit realm, and sometimes we can, we could handle faith. I mean, it would be tangible in that realm. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just like any spiritual, love is the same way. Forgiveness is the same way. They have spiritual volume. They're just not mental or sentimental effect. Are you with me? So how do you get something spiritual? You get it from a spiritual seed. You get it from the Word of God. Amen? And here's my challenge for you. I'm going to do two challenges for you. I'm going to do a corporate challenge for the church and an individual challenge. Now, as a church, we can be dutiful and obedient to the Lord, kind and compassionate. We can give out backpacks. We can send money to people in Baton Rouge. We can finance trips to Nicaragua. We can put money in the NRP Vision Fund and help plant churches. God will bless all that. But, you know, you can do all that and not expect to grow. I'm meddling now. Are you with me? You can do all those things and have no faith for growth. Well, Pastor Keith, don't you know a lot of people? I know all kinds of things about all kinds of people. Here's what I do know. God's word says he is not willing that any should perish. And all your neighbors, they qualify as anybody. It's not a high qualification. If you got a pulse, you qualify, right? And then Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest. I talked about that yesterday morning. Pray the Lord of the harvest. Why? Because Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. So when I hear all these prophets, wait a minute. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. I believe with my whole heart, absolutely, without a doubt, if we could uncork what is here, we could grow beyond our means to control it. That'd be a great place to be, amen? Well, that doesn't make us any better than we are now. That's not our validation. Our validation is the Spirit of God. Our validation is our relationship with God and our relationship with one another. Our size does not validate us. But because of who we are, we should grow. Amen? But I'm going to tell you, one of the keys to that is really expecting, you know, I mean, if I was you and I was out there in that walk to school thing you guys did, I'd be eat a shunda on those donuts. I'd be praying. I'd be saying, God, I'm expecting we're going to connect with somebody today. We're believing for two or three parents today that we're going to. I mean, I'd be all over that. It's just me. I mean, you got to stay engaged in faith, not just, well, you know, we'll just do this and hope something good happens. I'm not hoping something good happens. I'm believing God for something good to happen. Amen? Amen? See, when I witness to people, I don't witness to them because I get this obligation and I'm a Christian and I'm going to say something. I don't know what to say and I'll probably say something. I have no pressure on me at all. Here's my thing. I'm not willing that any should perish. Okay, God, I'm going to open my mouth and I'll say something stupid. That didn't change your will at all. You're still not willing that they should perish. You could take something I say and make something smart out of it. Hallelujah. Where's my faith at? My faith is in God. And you see how tricky the devil can be? He can just turn that thing just enough that all of a sudden we don't even realize it. And the load has shifted and it's on us. We're doing all the right things, but we're not moving in faith. Does that bear witness with you? I'm not being critical at all, not in the least. I'm encouraging. I'm trying to stir the pot here a little bit. And then I want to just say, take that same principle and apply it to your life. Couples, families, men, speak the word of God in your house. Grab a hold of your wife and say, we're standing on this verse for our household. We're standing that our house, we pray, our light, our house is a light on the hill. Our house is an embassy of the kingdom of heaven. Our house is a safe place in a dangerous world. Our house is where the needy run into it and get refuge. Hallelujah. Amen. Rather than, oh yeah, we're open, you know. Somebody knocks on our door. I'm not mocking. Please hear my heart. I'm challenging. Okay? I'm challenging. And then your temporal needs are important to God. I was sharing with folks just a moment. Listen, God is not against you having anything. And the great revelation of Scripture is God doesn't have to take it off anybody to give it to you. Did you know that? He'll just make more of it. He's God. When God blesses me, he didn't take anything off you to do it. Isn't that amazing? He just makes it. Hallelujah. He's a creator. He just wants you to be willing to share it if he taps you on the shoulder and says, I want that. And I gave that to you for a season. Pass it on. Hallelujah. I got a lot of things that have passed through my life. It's fun. Hallelujah. What do you believe in God for? And there's a difference between, I'd like this or I'd like that. I mean, I'd like a new car, but honestly, I don't really have the time to believe for it. I got too many other things I'm believing for. If you want to believe for me, that'd be great. Or if you want to give me your car today, I'll take it. Hallelujah. I mean, it's just really where I'm at. You know, I mean, my faith, I mean, I'm just telling you, I only got this much faith energy. I mean, I'm just telling you. My seed's growing. I'm moving better. You know, I'm growing. But I got a lot of things on my docket right now, you know, it's like a pretty full-time job, what I'm believing for. But get engaged on something, Dad, husband, man. Get engaged on something. Get a hold of her hand. Get on your knees. Start saying what God has said. Start not just talking about the dream, talking about the vision, talking about the need. Get a verse. Write it on a card. Slap it on the mirror. Put it on the refrigerator. Put it on the dashboard. Speak the same thing. It's powerful. And ladies, if your husband isn't there, just do it yourself. Let him wonder what in the world you're up to. He's wondering anyway, so give him something to wonder about. Oh, hallelujah. God's good. Amen. God's good. God wants good things for you. But I'm going to tell you, honestly, he wants the glory too. He wants you with a straight face to be able to look at somebody and really blame it on him, not just that you're a good Joe or you did it all right, to really say, it's the craziest thing. God blessed me. I love it when that happens. Amen. Stand up with me. Now, let me ask this question to you today. This is a real important question. We're a family of believers here. We're not a bunch of religious pundits, and you know, we don't have it all together. We know who does have it all together. His name is Jesus. Amen. And God's not waiting for you to clean up your life and get your act together. You'll be waiting a long time if that's the case. Give me one of those. You know, like I told you yesterday, I had bad breath, so there. Hey, the truth will set you free, I'm saying. Anyway. I better take another one. I won't be rebuked twice. But anyway. The The first faith thing is to throw your life at Christ. To throw your life at him. To say, Lord, I need a Savior, and you're the only one there is. You don't have to know more than that. You don't have to know more than that. That Jesus Christ is King and he is Lord. And if you throw your life at him, he'll take it like it is. He'll give you the supernatural power to turn your back on the old and begin to walk through the new. That's called repentance. So here's what I want to do. We're not going to close our eyes. When I got saved, I was so irreligious, I didn't even know I was supposed to close my eyes when I prayed. I said, God, if you are who those people say you are, then, you know, I want what they got. Amen. And my friend said I was tripping. That's what they said to me. My friend said, man, you tripping. And I came back to him. I said, you're right, I'm tripping. I'm going to heaven, by the way. That's where my trip is going to land. Hallelujah. Throw your life at Jesus. Paul said, forgetting those things are behind, the good stuff and the bad. Today's a new day. I mean, faith always operates in today. Now faith, Hebrews 11:1 says, is a substance. Today. Anybody here today, it's just a good day for you to start your life new and say, Pastor Keith, I don't even know what that all means, but it bears witness on my heart. I'm going to throw my life at Jesus, and I'm going to see what he'll do with it. You're throwing your life at some other things, some other people. They're imposters. Jesus is real. Amen. Anybody like that today? I don't know where you're at. You're in a safe place. No, and they're going to cheer you on. They're going to cheer you on. Anybody like that? Say, that's me. I want to throw my life at Jesus. I want this date to be the day, my spiritual birthday, where I got born again. Anybody? Okay. Now, let me ask you this question. As I was talking about believing God, even if you were getting mad at me, okay? I don't care if you get mad at me. I mean, I want to be your friend, but some of my best friends I get mad at, huh, Scott? Iron sharpens iron. Hallelujah. What do you need to engage God on? Is there anything that popped into your spirit and said, you know what, that's really where I'm at. I'm being a little passive. I'm just being laid back. I know God is good. I know he wants to do it, but I'm really not putting any log on this fire. Does that bear witness to anybody? Anybody? Okay. Two people bears witness. Good. Great. I'm glad God sent me here to preach to two people. Hallelujah. Now, it bears witness to me, and I'm preaching it. I'm just telling you. I was going over my notes this morning. I got stirred up. I was preaching at myself. Two things I was preaching at myself about. I was like, okay. Now, here's what you need to do. You don't need to get into all kind of gyrations. Open the Word of God. Open the Word of God. Say, God, where do I feed to grow this seed in Jesus' name? Okay? If you're not sure, talk to Pastor Scott. Let him give you some direction. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, hearing it in your spirit, hearing in your spirit. It's like hearing a song. You know, you hear that song, I'm tone deaf, and I can pick up on it. You know what I mean? You might not think because I'm like, I got something else going on here, but I hear it, okay? And a lot of times we've practiced listening to the wrong voices, so we're good at that. I'm just saying, just flip it. Shut off the wrong voices. Shut off the voices of doubt. There's some people in your life you should stop listening to, by the way. No extra charge for that. Just say, thank you, but no thank you. All right? Let's engage the Lord for a minute. Can we do that? Let's move from passive to believing. All right? Let's move from passive to engaging. Hallelujah. Lord, I'm dependent on you. Jesus said, who touched me? Think of that. There's people bumping all around, knocking. Jesus, but somebody with a faith hand grabbed hold of Jesus in that crowd. He said, somebody touched me. Let's do it right now. Just reach out. Everything you are and everything you're not. In your weakness, just throw yourself at him this morning. Say, Lord, I just want to touch you. Lord, teach me. No matter how much I've been in the kingdom, And no matter how much I don't know, God, Lord, teach me to touch you afresh, God. Teach me to lay hold of you, Lord. Teach me to wrestle with you, so to speak, Lord, with your word, oh God. If your Christian life is dull and maybe not sharp, and maybe you're not full of spiritual enthusiasm, maybe you don't witness to people anymore, it's probably not because of your personality. It's probably because you just lost your faith edge in general, and you're not being moved by the word. You're just moving back and forth in life. Stir the waters, oh God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Stir the waters. Stir the waters. What is the word of God? What is the word of God? What is the desire of your heart? What is the word that goes with that? What is your desire? Some of you got a lot invested here. You got years invested here. You've sown, you've prayed, you've believed, you like what you know, and listen, he's not willing that any should perish. The harvest is plentiful in Hastings and the surrounding communities, in Jesus' name. We see problems, God sees golden grain ready to be harvested. We see lost people going to and fro, God sees his son giving his life for them. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Lord, I thank you for what you've done in LifeGate. I thank you for the rich soil that is here. I thank you this is soil where a seed can grow. I thank you it's a safe place for a dangerous message, Lord. Hallelujah. I thank you it's a great place where loving, trusting, and even challenging relationships can be developed, Lord. That even now, what the world looks at as a small group of people have literally impacted people's lives. There are people in heaven, LifeGate Church, that we're going to meet, and they're going to say, thank you. You prayed for me. You helped me. You sent a missionary to me. You sent money to us. You encouraged us. Hallelujah. That's an awesome thing. That's real. That's real. See, that gets your face stirred up. Amen. That gets your face stirred up, because that's God's word. Stir the pot. Stir the pot. Put the word in you, God. The word of God in you. In Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Scott.